United States v. Johnson. Mr. Gevers.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Robert Gevers, and I am the attorney for the appellant, Mr. Johnson. May it please the Court, Counsel. Your Honors, when we filed our brief regarding the Fair Sentencing Act, the United States Supreme Court had not yet granted cert in Dorsey and Hill. And in light of that grant of cert, Mr. Johnson is willing to defer any decision on that matter as to the retroactivity of the Fair Sentencing Act and the mandatory minimums as applied to him until this Court and we receive guidance from the United States Supreme Court. We appreciate the concession by the government from the President through Attorney General Holder on down that the Fair Sentencing Act should apply to individuals like Mr. Johnson. He appears to be the primary candidate in such a situation since he received a life imprisonment sentence, and under the Fair Sentencing Act changes, he would receive a far less sentence. We also have another issue, though, and this one is just as an uphill battle as the other one, perhaps, and that is the issue of the search and seizure, or the seizure and search that occurred of Mr. Johnson's vehicle while he was sitting outside a business.
At what point do you contend that Mr. Johnson didn't feel free to leave? When the officer approached the car, when he shined the flashlight into the car, when he tapped on the window with the flashlight, when he asked if there were any weapons in the car, at some other point? When is it?
Yes, Your Honor. That is, in fact, the crux. And I would suggest, again, tilting at the windmill, perhaps, that it is when he comes up onto the car and immediately taps on the window. I believe that in the jurisprudence that has come down over the years, not just from this court but from others, we tend to believe in this fallacy that an individual feels free to leave at any time when the police officer arrives. I was before this court some time ago on a case where a police officer approached a pedestrian, and there was no reasonable suspicion, no criminal activity that was seen, and the police officer asked a question, and we had that discussion. What happens if he leaves? In this instance, what happens if Mr. Johnson truly did leave, truly did put the car in gear and take off? I would suggest the police officer would not simply stand by and say, bye-bye, but rather would get in his car to pursue. So I believe, and my colleagues in the defense bar may hate me for this, but I think we need to just do away with that then. A police officer comes upon the scene, taps on the window, the individual is immediately seized. We ask the police officer at the trial district court level, was the individual free to leave? And every police officer always says, oh, absolutely, at that point he was. But truly, was he? Would the officer have simply let him go? I believe not. So I believe that seizure, Your Honor, begins at the time that Officer Lixon approached Mr. Johnson's vehicle and tapped on the window. He had not yet seen anything. He had not yet fully determined that there was any illegal activity. The government cites two cases, particularly Brewer and Hendricks, to support.
Well, suppose I thought the police officer shines the flashlight into the window and sees the gun.
Yes, sir. I think there is some contemporaneous action here where the police officer approaches, is using the flashlight, and taps on the window. It is my contention, Your Honor, that at that point there is a seizure, and yet he does not know that there was any criminal activity even to approach that vehicle. It is parked in a private business parking lot. The private business is still open for business. The police officer sees no one else exit or enter that vehicle during the time he observes the vehicle.
I thought he shone his flashlight into the window on the passenger side before he tapped on the window.
Your Honor, that I believe was the testimony of Officer Lixon. I believe that it was the testimony of my client, Mr. Johnson, that there was a tap on the window before there was any
Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it?
Well, Your Honor,
I tap on the window and say, I'm about to shine a flashlight at your car.
Well, Your Honor, it's like...
You shine the flashlight in, then he tapped the window. Then he saw the gun, then he taps the window. So is the police officer permitted to shine a flashlight in someone's car? Or is that a search?
Your Honor, I believe that a police officer is entitled to do so.
Okay, so he shines it in the car, he sees the gun. What more does he need?
Well, Your Honor, I think that even going up to that car, and if Mr. Johnson had taken off, that's my point, if Mr. Johnson had taken off, the police officer would have...
business about taking off. He shines the light. He's allowed to walk up to a car. He shines his light in. He sees a gun, and he sees what looks like drugs. What point does he need?
Well, Your Honor, it is our contention that... to get up to that car and to...
Okay, what's wrong with going up to the car, shining your flashlight? That's why I asked you whether it was a search. He shines the flashlight, sees the gun, he sees crack, he thinks. And then what? So obviously if Johnson drives away, the police are going to chase him and arrest him. So what's the problem?
Well, Your Honor, as I said, I'm tilting at windmills here to a certain extent because of the case law and under this. We believe, as though I guess we are splitting hairs here, that when he first walks up to that car, he has to have some reason to do so.
Well, I don't understand that because you said it wasn't a search. I mean, it's nosy to go up to people's cars shining flashlights in. But apparently it's not illegal, is it?
No, sir.
Then I don't know what your case is.
You want it to become illegal.
We want it to become illegal, Your Honor. And certainly...
You want us to say that it's, what, a trespass to shine a light in someone's car?
Well, Your Honor, I think it goes back further to the actual...
What are you going to call it? You have to put it in some pigeonhole. What is this... misconduct of the police and shining flashlights in people's...
Illegal seizure is what you said originally.
Well, yes. I think what I'm saying, Your Honors, is that we have to just say, let's throw out the whole reasonable articulable suspicion. Let's just allow the police officer to walk up to anybody at any time and say...
Well, of course, we do allow a police officer to walk up to anybody at any time and ask a question, right?
Correct.
You can say, I don't want to answer your question, but there's no illegality.
Right, but if he says, I don't want to answer your question, begins to walk away, what does the officer do and what does the individual do?
Well, the officer can't do anything unless he has, you know, grounds for a Terry stop or a...
And then it progresses from there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So what's the difference between just asking someone a question and shining your flashlight in this car? Maybe there is.
Well, I think, Your Honor, that this officer...
So this is what Judge Bauer is suggesting... Is that your argument that shining the flashlight kind of freezes the driver so that in effect he's seized?
Right, he's seized at that very moment.
Seized by just the shining of the flashlight. So the window tapping doesn't matter, it's just the flashing.
And that's what it drew the defendant's attention, and he, quote, becomes nervous and breathes heavily.
Is there some authority? I mean, it's not a bad argument, but is there some... authority for that? Or
no, sir.
Be,
no, sir. This would be where it would start, Your Honor.
Right here today.
Yes.
You're here on a historic
Fair Sentencing
occasion.
Act, be darned. This is where it would start. But thank you. I see that I am into my rebuttal. I will allow the government and reserve as necessary. Thank you.
Fine, sure. Okay. Ms. Kirchhoff?
You are a regular visitor.
I have been up here quite frequently in the last
week or so.
I see
you every Monday and Friday. That's amazing. Are you the only one in your office?
I am not, no. Good morning, Your Honors. Good morning. Emily Kirchhoff on behalf of the United States.
So if a police officer walks up to a person's car and shines the light in on it, isn't that a seizure? I mean, who would dare drive off? Is a police officer standing next to your car shining a flashlight in it?
This court,
drive off? That'd be pretty risky behavior.
In Douglas, this court addressed that question and said that the use of a flashlight when an officer approaches a car.
Stand the Douglas case, I must say. It seems extremely unrealistic.
I believe that the court's reasoning.
What would you do if a police officer's shown of? You're in a parking lot, and he's wearing a uniform, right? So he comes up, you see it's a cop, shines a flashlight in your car.
What can I do for you?
And you speed off. They're speeding off.
Personally, Your Honor, I would wait.
Of course.
I would answer the officer's questions. At the same time, I would not have an illegal firearm or a firearm that I could not legally possess and or illegal substances on
what
the passenger seat.
What you do is say to yourself, whoops, if you had a car.
Certainly.
You didn't do that one right.
And at this point, the officer did approach the car, used his flashlight, which this court has said in Douglas does not constitute a seizure, and at that time saw the gun and what he believed or had reasonable suspicion to believe was drugs on the front passenger seat of Mr. Johnson's vehicle. At that point, at the very least, Officer Lixon had reasonable suspicion to continue the investigation.
What's the gun in plain sight if the officer needed a flashlight to view it?
In Texas v. Brown, the Supreme Court said that a police officer may use a flashlight to look into a vehicle, and that does not constitute an unconstitutional search.
So
the gun was in plain sight. It was between the center console of the vehicle and the passenger seat with the magazine or the handle of the gun pointing up.
What's more important to this case, do you think, the plain view doctrine or the freedom to terminate the encounter line of cases?
I believe, based on Mr. Johnson's argument and the fact that the officer needed reasonable suspicion or some explanation for approaching the car, it is the freedom to leave aspect of this. And the case law, you know, states the Supreme Court has said in Florida v. Bostick that a police officer can approach any individual and ask questions so long as they are not forcing compliance through coercion. And here, and in the Douglas case, this court said that, you know, using a flashlight does not constitute coercion, and these kind of encounters can occur. And at the instant Officer Lixon approached the vehicle, he did see the gun
and
the drugs.
Drive down the street, shining a searchlight into windows of people's houses?
I believe that situation poses the question of the police using technology to invade private property.
If they were looking for some specific crime, they could ride up down the street flashing lights. If they're looking for a runaway burglar, for instance, they can do it.
Sure.
Correct.
And they do it now.
Correct.
Of course, so do cab drivers. So go ahead.
And in this case, both the officer and the manager of the establishment, I will call it, testified that the officer had the owner's permission to patrol the parking lot at different times. So the officer was there with the owner of the club's permission. If this court has no further questions, the government would ask that the judgment and conviction be affirmed, and the government also recognizes that this court has held cases with the Fair Sentencing Act issue.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Fickoff. Mr. Givers, anything further?
Your Honors, unless there are further questions, I have nothing further. I'll rely on the briefs and prior arguments.
Okay, and you were appointed, were you not?
Your Honor, I was hired to represent him during sentencing. That didn't work out so well. I took his appeal pro bono, basically. Okay.
Well, we thank you very much for your efforts.
Thank you.
And we thank Ms. Kirchhoff for her efforts on behalf of her client. Okay, our last case.